at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 1, portions from chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That was, again, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 10 to 20. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Lord. Thank you for being all of that and so, so much more. You're the Heavenly Father. You are Heavenly Father who teach our hands to war. You teach us, prepare us, empower us, and guide us in preparing ourselves for the spiritual warfare of day-to-day living, and also the spiritual warfare work of being on the offensive in carrying the kingdom of God forward to build the kingdom of God and to tear down the kingdom of darkness. Empower us to be faithful vessels you can use every day to take more and more ground for your kingdom. We thank you and praise you for the privilege of being such vessels. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're grateful to have as our phone guest today, Kay Horner. Kay is the Executive Director of Awakening America Alliance. Kay, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Joseph. It's wonderful to be with you again after Heart Cry for Revival last week.
That's right. That's right. We appreciate you being one of our guests on briefly last week, but it's great to have you back for the program to be able to share more in depth about the work of Awakening America Alliance, as well as we look forward to later this week, the National Day of Prayer, too. So as we start, Kay, would you tell our listeners a little bit more about you, yourself, and about the work you do as the Executive Director of Awakening America Alliance?
Well, with American Family Radio being based out of Tupelo, Mississippi, it might be interesting to your listeners to know I grew up in Horn Lake, Mississippi, okay, just south of the Memphis area. And I kind of joke sometimes and say that I grew up near Bullfrog Corner. Okay. So I'm just a country girl from the South, and grew up with a godly family teaching and training me and taking me to church. We were one of those families that went every time the doors were open. You didn't miss church. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do.
And,
I do.
And so I was blessed to have that Christian family background and grew up loving the Lord. And when I was a high school graduate. I went to a small junior Christian college, and ultimately the Lord called me into ministry and into serving Him and the kingdom of God in a professional capacity. I have been blessed to serve in different roles. I served for 13 years with Pregnancy Care Center Ministry, and I know the value of human life, the sanctity of life is dear to your heart. We served in that area, and for the last few years, I've been serving with the Awakening America Alliance. Mm-hmm. We are a national ministry that serves kingdom initiatives for spiritual awakening and missional living. And we do that in a variety of ways. We'll talk a little more about that, I'm sure, in a few moments. Mm-hmm. But I'm honored to do anything the Lord calls me to do, and the doors that He opens, it's always a privilege to walk through and represent Him in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And I want to ask if you'll, as we start off, state the mission statement one more time, but really break that down for our listeners, because some of it might be a little bit heavy with some of the words you use there. But explain a little bit more in depth what that means, the kinds of things that you do as a national ministry.
Well, we really are a platform. The terminology alliance means a coming together of groups or organizations or a purpose or a mission or a goal. So we like to serve many different kingdom ministries and help provide resources and platforms for them to pursue their mission. So the Awakening America Alliance pursues this in basically four different arenas. The first is in United Prevailing Prayer. Mm-hmm. And with that, we have provided the National Prayer Accord, which is a rhythm of prayer that churches and local communities can adopt in coming together for weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annual gatherings. We have prayer and fasting devotional guides that we provide that focus a lot on the 20 indicators of spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. In 2007, when the ministry was formed and leaders began to gather together at sites of the historic awakening, such as the in Northampton, where the First Great Awakening was birthed, and in Cane Ridge, Kentucky, the site of the Second Great Awakening, and other areas like that, we began to question and ask, if we're seeking and praying for a Christ awakening in our nation, what would that look like? Mm-hmm. So we identified 20 indicators of awakening, and you can see those on the awakeningamerica.us website, awakeningamerica.us. So we provide prayer and fasting devotional guides to help focus on those awakenings. We do a 21-day virtual prayer meeting and time of fasting and prayer together each January. Mm-hmm. And then we're engaged with National Day of Prayer, which comes up in just a couple of days, and also with the 9/11 Cloud America prayer gathering. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways we serve the kingdom of God is through helping to encourage and resource United Prevailing Prayer, because we recognize no great awakening has ever occurred in the nation that wasn't first preceded by a powerful United Prayer movement.
Okay. Okay, then. Yeah. So, and also, like, as it relates to, say, our listeners today, too, would it be accurate to say, then, that a goal, like when you do an interview like this, is you're wanting every believer that's listening to just decide they're going to just spend more time praying for the nation, praying for the culture, praying for kingdom matters and kingdom concerns? Would that be an accurate statement to make?
Oh, definitely, because of all the things that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them, when you study back through Scripture, you see them being with Jesus, learning from Him, ministering with Him. But the one thing they asked Him was not how to multiply the bread and the fish, or, Lord, don't teach us. They didn't say, God, teach us how to walk on water. But they said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? Mm-hmm. And, of course, Jesus said that said to his followers, to the people in that day, that his house would be called a house of prayer. Of course, he's quoting from the Old Testament prophet. Mm-hmm. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer.
That's right.
And then in addition to encouraging prayer and helping to resource people and give them specific guides and opportunities to come together for prayer, we also believe in pastor renewal. And I think you and I were talking about this a little bit earlier in that in one of our phone conversations, that if pastors are going to really have their churches become houses of prayer and address the issues of the day, they're going to need personal renewal and refreshing and revival in their own hearts and lives.
That's right. So, that's right.
So one of the things we do through the Awakening America Alliance is we provide digital apps for rebooting their spiritual life and rebooting marriage. Of course, reboot in computer terminology means to go back to the original starting point. And then we also provide marriage retreats and getaways for couples, pastoral couples, ministry couples.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new ministry initiative that's called the Helper Connection, and this is to help establish and develop covenant relationship groups among pastors' wives.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's some of the ways we encourage. We have a 1-800 confidential prayer line that pastors and their families can call to just speak with trained professional counselors. And so this is a powerful resource that we make available for pastors because we believe in the local pastor and their impact that they're having. They are vital to awakening and revival in the nation.
Hmm. Okay. So there's quite a bit that you do to really help churches and just kingdom causes that are out there. So, well, Kay, let me ask you this. If someone's listening and they're just wanting more information about the Awakening America Alliance, how would they get more information about about the ministry?
Well, they can simply go to our website, Awakening, that's with an ING, awakeningamerica.us. And if pastors and leaders are interested in some of the ministry things that are available, they can also go to care4pastors.com, care4pastors.com. And one other thing that I didn't mention, Joseph, is that we also provide free sermon materials and resources for pastors. And if you go to preach2engage.com, we have free sermon materials, bulletin inserts, mobile prayer apps, graphics, and engagement strategies for congregations to develop prayer, care, share lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just about what we do on Sunday. It's what we do throughout the week, and it's more than just praying.
Mm-hmm.
It's demonstrating the love and care of Christ and sharing the gospel with the people in our sphere of influence. So we have the United Prevailing Prayer, we have the Pastor Renewal, and then we have the Preach to Engage resources. And they're wonderful because there's no cost for the pastors. And many pastors throughout the nation are not mega church pastors with a huge team to provide video segments and all their PowerPoints and all the resources they need. So we love blessing and helping pastors that are in those small to medium-sized congregations, and many are bivocational and can use that help and assistance. And so we really like to love and support our pastors through providing the free resources through Preach to Engage. And that helps their congregations to have an encounter with Jesus, experience his word, and enter into deeper fellowship one with another. So I really encourage pastors to log on and check out preach2engage.com and take advantage of those free resources that are there and available for you.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that, too. And I tell you what, Kay, we're coming up on a break, but I want to ask on the other side of the break, one of the first things we do, I'd like to ask if you'll pray for churches specifically to grow in their understanding of the need to be more supportive and more prayer, giving more prayer support to their pastors and the shepherds as well. So we'll pick up there. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Kay Horner, the Executive Director of Awakening America Alliance. We'll be right back after this break.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Out of all the people in the world, we've all done or will do the following: be birthed into this earth, grow, go to school, maybe go to college, get married, have kids, grow old, and die. Doesn't sound too eventful when put in that perspective. For many, the thought of discipling someone is foreign from the mind and not even on the to-do list. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus tells us to go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. A disciple is more than a student, he or she is a follower of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things in this world, but there's nothing like being a Christian. It's a life filled with adventures. Receiving an education, vacationing, marriage, having kids are good, but there's nothing like taking the time to nourish someone in God's word so that they can be a force to be reckoned with. That is priceless. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
We are all created by God with undeniable purpose. Learn more about beautiful possibility at www.radiance.life. Follow us on Twitter at Life Has Purpose.
The music of Vashawn Mitchell, the song Nobody Greater. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today is the Executive Director of Awakening America Alliance, Kay Horner. Okay, as we start off, I want to ask, as I'd mentioned, would you pray for churches to grow in their understanding of the need for them to be supportive and undergirding their pastors in prayer? You know, often people think of, well, they need their pastor to pray for them, and of course they do. But at the same time, it's a two-way street. We need to support one another. And, you know, some of the unique struggles, you think of the need for courage to be strong, to be faithful, dealing with temptation, and just the day-to-day struggles and challenges of being a pastor. So would you pray for churches to grow in their need to be prayer-focused as it relates to their shepherds?
Oh, I would be honored to do that, Joseph.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, as we come to you together this afternoon, we are so grateful that you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior and also to be our shepherd. In Scripture, it refers to him as the shepherd of the sheep. And so as the gentle shepherd, as the loving shepherd who cares for the flock, but also disciplines and trains and nurtures the flock in many ways, I thank you that you have given us under-shepherds, Lord, who serve as pastors, shepherding the flock of the kingdom of God here in our day and in our generation. And Lord, we are blessed to have so many godly men and women who serve in the kingdom of God and nurture and tend the flock of God. So we pray today that you would just strengthen and encourage our pastors, Lord, that you would bless their homes, their marriages, their families, that you would bless them in their times of study and preparation, that you would give them a holy boldness to stand in the pulpits and to proclaim the truth of your word unashamedly and to address the social issues and the challenges of our day with scripturally based teaching and training. And God, I thank you that you will bless their children and their children's children.
Yes, Lord.
That they would just have a godly heritage that follows in their footsteps as they honor and serve you. And Lord, I ask that you would raise up men and women in our congregations who will love and support our pastors and encourage them. God, we are often beset with so many who are evaluators, who point fingers or criticize or take sermons apart or Lord, complain that the pastor doesn't visit enough or he doesn't do this enough or that.
But yes, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, that you would just soften the hearts of our congregations to recognize the treasure they have, and as they love and support and encourage their pastors, that they would become greater leaders and shepherds of their flock.
Yes, Lord,
that they would be able to sense the love and support of their congregations, and Father, that they would be encouraged, and that there would be this unity that comes between the pew and the pulpit, that they will come together with a vital love relationship with you and love for one another that demonstrates to the world the love of Christ.
Thank you,
and
Lord,
that people outside the church look upon the congregations and the pastors as they love and serve together, that they would recognize that truly you did send your Son to be the Savior of the world, and they would be brought into this loving atmosphere and a desire to come to know you as Lord and Savior as they see your people serving you so faithfully. We ask it in Jesus' name that you would be glorified in it all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kay. I appreciate that. And Kay, just continuing along that theme, if you, in view of the work that you do and how you and the ministry you're a part of work with and minister specifically to shepherds, to pastors, what two or three key things would you encourage every listener to pray for their own pastor about? What would be two or three things specifically you'd want to really encourage them to make it a priority to lift their pastors up on a regular basis dealing with? What topics or issues?
I think first I would pray that my pastor would have those quiet, devotional, personal moments with the Lord, that it wouldn't just be about their study time, but that God would encourage them in their personal devotional and prayer time,
mm-hmm.
that they could have a vibrant relationship with the Lord personally, and that they can have dynamic encounters with him in their own personal relationship, because it's out of the overflow of our own devotional time with the Lord that we're able to minister to others. So I think I would pray first and foremost for their own personal walk with God, that mm-hmm. it would be vibrant, that it would be intimate, that it would be revelatory, that God would reveal himself to them. Mm-hmm. There's just many ways, but I would pray first for their own personal walk with the Lord, and then I would pray for their, if they're married, for their marriages and their home, mm-hmm. that their families would be strong. There's not many of us that work in a profession where we're on call 24/7.
That's right. That's so true.
And many pastors are giving of themselves far beyond what their Sunday offering is, or their monthly tithing. They're giving of themselves just hours and hours throughout each week. And so in addition to their personal relationship with the Lord, I would pray for their families and mm-hmm. their family relationship. And then probably third, I would pray that God would give them powerful prophetic words to preach from their pulpits, mm-hmm. that they would be able to break the bread of life and share with their congregation in bold and courageous ways and with a powerful anointing. We want pastors to do so many things, but their primary responsibility in loving their congregations is to feed the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
So I think those three areas, for their personal devotional time and relationship with the Lord, for their family relationship, and for their ability to preach the unadulterated, pure Word of God from their pulpit.
That's right. That's right. Kay, you know, I appreciate you sharing each of those matters, those areas of need in it, because I think of this, that, you know, when you proclaim the truth of God's Word and you're prophetic about it, the reality is not only do you offend people, sometimes you get people upset to the point where they want to come after you. And I recall an instance where I know of one pastor where he preached a message that somehow or another offended one of his leading officers, and the officer was so upset with him that right after this service, the officer followed him into his office and threatened him and told him, "We pay your salary." And that kind of pressure is not especially encouraging on the shepherd, but yet and still, of course, he's still supposed to do his job. But that doesn't make it any easier, you know. So, yeah. But thank you again for just sharing some of those needs. And I want to encourage every listener to take it serious. Pray for your pastor, because your pastor, whoever he or she may be, need your prayers and your encouragement as well. So, well, tell me, Kay, now, you are at Awakening America Alliance as well. Also, you're significantly involved in the work of the National Day of Prayer. Tell us about your involvement, how you're connected to that important ministry.
Well, personally, I serve on the National Prayer Committee.
Okay.
And we also are engaged in helping to train and resource intercessors and coordinators across the nation. Just recently in February, we hosted and actually underwrote the cost for the state National Day of Prayer and Cry Out America. Those are the 9/11 prayer gathering coordinators to all come together.
Mm-hmm.
And we just to have them to have a time of building relationships one with another, to encourage them, to pray with them, to teach and train and resource them. So we just did that in February, but we promote the National Day of Prayer. We have more than 100,000 pastors that have access, like 120,000 pastors that are given access to our sermon and Preach to Engage resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so we promote the National Day of Prayer in that arena. And personally, I will be going to Chicago, actually leave in the morning mm-hmm. for the National Day of Prayer radio broadcast Thursday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Our theme for the National Day of Prayer this year is For Your Great Name's Sake, and it's based out of Daniel chapter 9. Most of our listeners would be familiar with the children's—we consider it a children's Bible story, but what they heard as children, when Daniel continued to pray even though he was in captivity in a foreign land,
mm-hmm.
and yet he continued to pray to the Lord and was actually thrown into the lion's den
mm-hmm.
because of his commitment to prayer. And God delivered him, shut the mouths of the lion,
that's
and
right.
delivered him from that. And so I think we can definitely take confidence and inspiration and encouragement from Daniel's prayers and in Daniel chapter 9 He prayed a powerful prayer of repentance and asking God to restore his people from their place of captivity and to bring them home again. And in the end of that prayer, he said, "For your name's sake, for your great name's sake, O Lord, would you hear us, would you forgive us, and would you heal us?" And so the theme across the nation and more than 45,000 prayer gatherings will be this theme: for your great name's sake, Lord, we want you to hear, forgive, and heal our land. And they'll be gathering in Washington, D.C. Ann Graham Lotz is the national chairperson for National Day of Prayer now, and they will be meeting in our nation's capital. Leaders will be coming together there for prayer in Statutory Hall. They'll be coming together Thursday evening. At the same time, we're gathering in Chicago, so we'll be connecting with the different prayer gatherings in a huge stadium in Minneapolis. There will be thousands gathered for prayer in Washington, D.C., and Long Beach and other areas. We'll be connecting, and then we'll have some open prayer lines for people to call in and share their needs and pray together with us on the prayer call Thursday evening. So there's so much going on. I could take up the whole hour just talking about all the wonderful things God is doing as he is uniting believers across the denominational, the social, the racial, the cultural, generational lines, often the things that we've allowed to separate and divide. National Day of Prayer is a wonderful day that our communities and our families and our churches can pray together and in the public forum and make a statement of unity to our communities. And so that's what it is, community and unity.
That's right. That's right.
So that's exciting thing too, that we give an opportunity to pray in the public forum.
Okay. We know,
see God's witness in our world.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, of course, there are many, many events in local communities as well as in larger cities as well. And so we want to encourage every single listener to find out in your local community where events will be happening and go and try to be a part of them. And if you find out that there's nothing in your immediate community, no event that's centered around prayer, start one and take it upon yourself.
Right.
Maybe invite some friends or members of your church just to come over and pray with you during that day or during the day or that evening. Or if you even don't manage to do that, just spend extra time by yourself, you one-on-one with your Heavenly Father, praying for our nation, praying for our culture, praying for the church. Because, again, every individual that gets involved, again, helps to make a difference, helps to do the work of the kingdom through their time in prayer on that day or any day as well, but especially on that day as well. So,
Joseph, I would say, too, that if they want to go online to nationaldayofprayer.org, nationaldayofprayer.org, that they can click through and locate if there is a prayer gathering in their area, and also they can volunteer.
That's right.
So if they just click on the event, they can put in their zip code under find an event near you, or they can actually click on another tab to host an event. Really would encourage people to go to nationaldayofprayer.org and find out if there is a prayer gathering near you. I know our prayer gathering in our community is going to be at noon on Thursday, and then that evening, the national observance, they could go online and actually watch it live streaming.
Okay.
And participate in the national observance from Washington, D.C.
All righty then. Okay, so lots of events, that some which will be even televised, but other events in local communities. I know we'll be right here in Tupelo, Mississippi. American Family Association will be sponsoring one around the noon hour as well. And so wherever you might be, we encourage you, go get involved, plug in, and be a part of the body of Christ as we come together in prayer for our nation and for our communities. But like I say, if you can't find one or aren't able to go and attend one, start one, initiate one in your home or in your community. Our guest is Kay Horner, the Executive Director of Awakening America Alliance. We'll be right back after this break.
1952.
Congress passed a bill today stating that the president is to set aside a day each year as a national day of prayer. Senator Frank Carlson of
1988.
President Reagan has just signed a bill designating the first Thursday in May as the national day of prayer. Those present at the signing.
The American Family Association encourages you to pray with your neighbors at your city hall Thursday, May 4th from 12:20 to 12:40 on this year's National Day of Prayer.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Bible describes a kairos moment as a time when God brings things together or makes a move. Dr. Tony Evans says the trick is holding on till that moment arrives. He'll take us to Galatians 6:8 for some encouragement as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I know you want to quit. Some people here want to quit. I am tired and you've lost heart. I understand. Paul told me to tell you, based on the word of God, don't quit. When you hit your kairos moment, and you all have one, even if you miss the last bus, another bus is coming. When your kairos due time, he calls it, hits, you'll know it. Because a kairos moment will always come with a crisis experience. A kairos moment is a divine interruption in the normal flow. Moses faced a kairos moment when he stood on the Red Sea, Pharaoh coming in one direction, the Red Sea in another direction, and God asked Moses, what are you going to do? Okay, I am whining, he says, is not an option. The tendency in a kairos moment is to want to quit because it's a crisis moment. That's why he says don't lose heart and don't throw in the towel, because a crisis moment might very well be a kairos moment where God is now about to bring about a shift based on what you did.
For more help holding on until your kairos moment arrives, check out Tony's 10-message series, The Spiritual Toolkit, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You.
the music of Vicky Yoe, the song Because of Who You Are. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the upcoming National Day of Prayer. Thank you for ministries like Awakening America Alliance that Sister Kay Horn is a part of. And thank you for so many other ministers that are helping to make this a big event. Lord, anoint the whole day with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. I pray that you'll move mightily upon your people to do a great work in the kingdom of God, to touch and to stir our nation to seek you more and to be the nation you'd have us to be. And Lord, I pray that you'd move upon us in such a way, Lord, that many would be touched and stirred by your Spirit, and the work that he does in their hearts would go far beyond the National Day of Prayer, that they would decide that they want to make prayer a bigger part of their whole life and all that they do. And help us and empower us to be the praying church, the praying people you want us to be. Thank you for the many ways you will bless on that day, but the many ways you'll bless far beyond the National Day of Prayer as well. We thank you, and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, our guest is Kay Horner, the Executive Director of Awakening America Alliance. And, you know, Kay, I want to mention Pastor Carl and the Churban. He commented on the fact that, you know, we were talking earlier about just all the things pastors have to deal with, but he mentions that someone once tried to kill Pastor John Hagee after he'd finished preaching a message in his own church. And, of course, the reality is spiritual warfare can sometimes be lead to physical danger or spiritual danger. But, again, we need to be reminded that every day we're wise to pray for our pastors and our spiritual leaders, because they really have to deal with a lot of different things, and it's an act of love and it's an act of faithfulness to God to simply lift them up in prayer every single day. Well, can you share with us a little bit more specifically about, as it relates to the work of Awakening America Alliance, are there maybe any stories that would help paint for us a picture that help us to better understand some of the work and some of the fruit that you find encouraging as you've been able to be a vessel God has used to help churches and pastors as well?
Interesting that you would ask that. I was just thinking during the break there, this past year in January, of course, 2016 was such a critical year for our nation, and I saw such tremendous unity, especially in the prayer movements around the nation. Mm-hmm. We began the year because we primarily, in our leadership summits, pastoral summits, we deal with a lot of national leaders. We began the year in Atlanta with bringing together leaders from denominational movements, parachurch ministries, megachurch ministries, mm-hmm. and different prayer ministries for a solemn assembly prayer time. Now, we only had 185 people in the room for this prayer gathering that lasted about 48 hours, mm-hmm. but those people in that room represented about 125,000 of the more than 300,000 churches in the nation. Hmm. We had leaders like Sammy Rodriguez with the Hispanic Coalition of Churches and Leaders in the Nation. We had Harry Jackson with the Reconciled Church Movement. We had Tony Perkins. We had Ronnie Floyd, the immediate past president of the Southern Baptist Association. But we also had Dr. Doug Beecham with the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. So I think you're getting the idea of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We had them from the broad spectrum. We had National Day of Prayer people. We had Cloud America people. We had the African Strategic Leadership Network and the Wailing Women, who are doing 24/7 prayer in our nation and have been mm-hmm. since 2012. And we all came together to just get on our faces before the Lord. We would have a brief challenge or scripture shared by one of these leaders, and then we would gather together and pray or get down on our knees and pray. And it was such a powerful time mm-hmm. of unity in the kingdom of God. And just to see these leaders of such large movements, some representing 30 or 40,000 churches or more, mm-hmm. yet they came together in humility to seek the Lord. And it was so encouraging to me, and I believe it set the tone throughout the year. We also encouraged churches to come together for solemn assembly prayer times in their local congregation mm-hmm. on Pentecost Sunday, and then on 9/11, which was on a Sunday last year. And the response was just tremendous because they had their leaders had first humbled themselves in prayer and seeking the Lord, and then they called their congregations and their communities to come together in prayer. And just an example at the end, and I know I'm talking so much, I'll take a break
No, go right ahead. You're fine.
But right at toward the end of this prayer gathering, when we were all together there in Atlanta, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, who was moderating the session, called forth a pastor from a mainline denomination to lead in a moment of prayer. And he came forward, but he brought another gentleman with him, and he said, "I'm honored that you would ask me to pray, but," he said, "I would like to defer to my brother," who was from another denominational, very different movement from his. Mm-hmm. He said, "I would like to defer to him and ask him to pray." Mm-hmm. And tears just filled my eyes because I thought, this is what it's all about. It's about preferring one another and not thinking that our way is the only way, but focusing on Jesus,
That's right.
Priority of the gospel, and the priority of the Great Commission. And we can put all of our differences aside. It's not about whether you believe in this doctrine or that doctrine or another doctrine, it's that we all come under the blood of Jesus Christ. We all
Amen.
Believe in the power of the gospel to bring salvation, and we all believe that we've been called to not only love our neighbors, but to share the gospel and to disciple them. So, you know, we can come together under those banners of love and unity and the Great Commission and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can change our world.
That's right. That is so true. That is so true. Kate, would you pray now specifically for the church? You touched on several different issues that are important. Obviously, they're important to see God working through these truths with the people coming together for the National Day of Prayer. But, of course, you and I know these issues go far beyond the bounds of that one day. Would you pray for the church to grow in the understanding of the need to come together in unity and in the love of God to get God's work done, please?
Yes. And, Lord, I just share the words of a prayer from my friend Dave Butch that I received today. That he asked, "How would you have us pray for this nation as we watch and seeing increasingly people turning from your ways and embracing deception and the lies of the enemy?" And your word speaks so strongly when it says the wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. But David also asked this right question when he said, "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" God, I believe we can pray. I believe that we can come together with a passion and a love for you as we cry out. The word says that if we ask of you, you would give us the nations as our inheritance.
Yes, Lord.
So I ask you, O Lord, give us this nation as our inheritance, that you would free us from deception, that you would liberate your people from the gods and the idols of this world that we have embraced above a personal relationship with you, Lord. When we have turned to materialism, or we've turned to media, or we've turned to promiscuity and other things to satisfy that God-shaped vacuum in our lives, and we know, Lord, that nothing can satisfy us outside of an intimate personal relationship with you. So I pray, O God, that you would sound forth the alarm in our churches, that you would awaken your people, that you would restore godly worship, that you would restore a passion for prayer, that you would restore a hunger for the Word of God, and that you would bring us to the point that we truly do have houses of prayer, that we don't just have houses for socialites, socialization, that we don't just have a house for ritual or form or tradition or compulsory worship, but Lord, we have people that come together and make your house a house of prayer again. And as we humble ourselves and cry out to you and seek your face,
Thank
your word
you,
says
Jesus.
That when we do this, when we humble ourselves, we
Thank
seek your face
Jesus.
And we turn from our wicked ways, that you, Father, will hear from heaven. You will forgive our sin, and you will heal our land. And we need healing. We need healing, O Lord, in our homes, and in our marriages and in our family, our parenting relationships. We need healing, O Lord, in our churches. We need healing in our communities from racial divides and separation. We need healing, O Lord, in our government. We need healing in our educational systems, Lord. We need a restoration in our marketplace and in our economy. But it first must begin at the house of God. As we, your people, it says, if my people will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So I pray that your people would begin to humble ourselves, O God, and seek you, because we know the answers only come from you, that we don't have the answers within ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from you. It is in you we live and move and have our being. You are the only one who is able to take a broken life and make it whole again. You're the only one who's able to take a heart that's been wounded and bruised and torn apart and heal it. You bind up the broken in heart and you heal all of our wounds. You give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You are the one that came to set the captives free. So we turn to you. And we say, in Jesus' name, will you bring healing and restoration to our nation?
Amen. Amen. Father, I too thank you for the privilege of being the people of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. Touch us, Lord. Help us to repent of wrong we've done against you. Forgive us. Empower us to walk in greater obedience. Lord, help us as a church to live a lifestyle of putting you first. Lord, help us to live a lifestyle of making no graven images. Lord, help us to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. And more, Lord, root us in your word. Help us to live your word, to preach your word, and to live a lifestyle of proclaiming your word to a world that desperately needs the healing that only your word and your spirit can bring. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you so much for being with us today. Any final words you'd like to share in the last minute or so that we have?
Just know that the first and foremost commandment is that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we can get that in the proper perspective, then there's no limit to what God can do. It is an honor and a privilege to share with you today, Joseph.
Thank you, Kay. And share, Lynn, one more time, the website to get more information about Awakening America Alliance.
AwakeningAmerica.us, AwakeningAmerica.us, and then the other website that they may want to check out before Thursday is NationalDayOfPrayer.org, NationalDayOfPrayer.org.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today, Kay.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you for being a part of our listening family today. And please be sure and plug into some event if you possibly can on this Thursday this week of the National Day of Prayer. And again, if you can't get to one, spend extra time praying and looking to the Lord on that day. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.